Our scripture reading for this morning is from the 27th chapter of Matthew, a familiar story that's in the Gospels, told in a little different way here and there. But this is Matthew's version, Matthew's rendition. Even though they're told a little differently, they all tell the same story. Now, it was the governor's custom at the festival, that was the festival of unleavened bread and the Passover, to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time, they had a well-known prisoner whose name was Jesus Barabbas. Now, I just have to put in a note here. Most translations that we have today do not include the name Jesus in this or in verse 17. They're included here, and I'll tell you why later. But there it is. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?" For he knew it was out of self-interest that they handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message: "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. "What shall I do then with Jesus who is called the Messiah?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." All the people answered, "His blood is on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. May the Lord add a blessing for all of us today for our hearing the word and our reading it together. Well, if you're looking at your worship bulletin and you'll see at the top of the order of worship, you see there in print what we all know in our hearts. Because our hearts are in tune with the accumulation of many days of prayer and penitence, penitence being the recognizing and then the confession of sin, and many days of reflection, many, many daily thoughts on our Lord Jesus Christ and His thoughts as he made his way for the last time toward the holy city. It was then and there that he knew that he was to be made the sacrifice for our sins by his death at the hands of sinners. And we've come to call this time of Christ's, well, we give 40 days to it. 40 days, very, very significant religious timing. In the Bible, 40 days of journey to the cross. And we call it the season of Lent. And this is the sixth Sunday in the time of Lent. And you know, and you're reminded by this beautiful but poignant display of the palm branches here. This is the sixth Sunday of Lent, which we call Palm Sunday. Today, with historic symbolism, we join the exuberant crowd standing on the roadside, the well-worn pathway leading down from the Mount of Olives straight toward the landmark eastern gate that opens into the city of David, Jerusalem. And that's Jesus. Carefully identified 5 days later on this very week by the governing Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, as Jesus, who is called Messiah. Hallelujah, we shout with the crowd. looking on at the teacher from Galilee, Jesus seated and riding royally on the colt of a donkey, just as the prophets of old had prophesied. Isaiah, Zechariah, Zephaniah, those three very specifically, and other prophets of the Old Testament generally, had prophesied that redemption would come to Zion, that is Jerusalem. And even Zechariah had specifically proclaimed that the King of the Jews' salvation would come to Jerusalem, and I'm quoting Zechariah here, Zechariah 9:9, righteous and victorious, lowly, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And so I say, what I believe you're thinking, we're there with them. And these are our branches that we have cut and we would strew in the path of the Messiah, our Messiah. We too are excited in celebrating Palm Sunday. Well, look excited. We're excited. One major difference, oh family of mine, we, as the Boskydale family together, as this week wears on and we follow Jesus through several trips into Jerusalem, off and on into the temple courts, those people, those lawyers, those priests leading the way, they quickly turned their joyful welcoming of Jesus and proclaiming him as the new king, the new son of David, their welcoming turned to a vicious denial and fearful plotting to make a quick end to this one that they themselves had called teacher. They turned their backs and rebelled. The difference? We will not. King, sovereign Lord, Master, Son of David, our Savior, Jesus, the one and only Christ, yes, we joyfully welcome you this Palm Sunday. And we will today, tomorrow, and throughout our whole lives here on earth, and then when we get to heaven, praise you, Lord. We will not turn away. We have made our final decision. We are yours, Jesus our Lord. That decision. I see myself clearly as one who sins far too often. I confess my sins to Jesus, who is my Master and Lord of my life, Lord of my committed fully to Him life as Lord. And I accept Him as the one and only one who will direct and govern my life. That decision I have decided. Okay, I'm going to try to settle down here a little. But I get truly excited on a completely spiritual day like today, like this Palm Sunday, and all of the imagery. I really get into it, and I hope you do. But now I'm going to go on a little more calmly with the rest of today's message that I believe the Lord has laid on my heart. It's okay? All right. Okay. Well, I've been there for a little over a year now, working as a sales representative at the Lifeway Christian Store. You know that. But this is not my first time at this rodeo, as the saying goes, this work as a salesman. And I have, as I've returned to working as a salesman, I've been clearly reminded internally and externally that I see lots of times a day the way people make decisions. And that intrigues me. You've watched yourself possibly many times, the ways people make decisions. Some people make purchasing decisions carefully. They compare, they contrast, they examine, they do pricing, And thus carefully they weigh their decision before committing their cash. And it seems to me folks like these end up satisfied with their decision. They're glad that they made it. Other people appear to make decisions quickly, maybe too quickly, with little thought, little rationale. And I don't mean this in a derogatory way, but for those people, it would seem that they choose with what I would just call carelessness. And I think these folks sometimes quickly say to themselves afterwards, why did I do that? And sometimes they even say openly to others, I don't really know why I made that choice. And I tend to believe that many times, if not most of the time, these folks have either decided to pretty much live their life with careless or carefree decision making, or if this is just an infrequent way that they've made some major decision, then they have second thoughts. Usually the second thought being, I'm kind of regretting, I now wish I had thought this through more carefully. Well, I know a play, and you may or may not know this play. It goes way back to 1956, but probably you've heard of it, The Tea House of the August Moon. You heard of that? There's an interesting exchange in that play between a couple of characters. The Japanese interpreter, his name is Sakini, and an American soldier, Captain Fisby. And the play, by the way, to give credit where credit is due, is an adaptation by John Patrick of a 1953 book by the same title by Vern Snyder. And the scene takes place during the occupation of Okinawa. And Sakini says to Captain Fisby, explain what is democracy. I was trying to say that like, you know, a little Japanese accent. Would you believe that Sakini was played by Marlon Brando in the movie? Explain what is democracy. And Captain Fisby replies, well, it's a system of determination. It's the right to make the wrong choice. And that's exactly what the people did on that fateful day, coming up soon in our calendar, when in Old Jerusalem they were offered the choice between Jesus and Barabbas. They made the wrong choice. At one fateful time in history, the overwhelming majority of Jews assembling in Jerusalem for the annual feast of unleavened bread and the Passover chose freedom for a convicted criminal, Barabbas, and death for the one innocent of any crime, Jesus the Christ. And I say anyone, regardless of religious persuasion, has to admit that they, the Jews of that day, as a mob, were choosing with undeniable carelessness. Their appointed Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, found himself on the spot. He admitted publicly that there were no valid legal grounds for the execution of Jesus, who he himself said is called Messiah. He was aware that this was basically a religious question that had taken on political overtones for the purpose of accomplishing the will of the Jewish religious leaders. So it occurred to Pilate, a thought of a way, an already commonly used way for him to get himself off the hook. You see, as an act of mercy, which we've talked about in keeping with the Passover season, the Roman leaders had always released a prisoner of choice, the choice of the people. So Pilate had two possibilities at hand. Jesus, whom he insisted on calling the one called Messiah, which he knew was supposed to mean King of the Jews, and Barabbas, who was a notorious insurrectionist and just a petty thief. In his mind, in Pilate's mind, it was clear cut. And probably thinking that they would see it as he was seeing it legally and judgmentally, that, well, you know, that is his way, that they would choose to free the innocent one, Jesus. And so he offered the people their choice. Look back at verse 15. The custom was that he would give the people their choice of a prisoner release. So that's what he was obligated to do by custom. Give the people their choice. That's what he decided to do, but Pilate misjudged on at least two counts. I believe he misgauged how much the mob may have been Barabbas' supporters. You see, they were wanting and supporting this insurrection he was talking about. It was against the Romans. And second, he misjudged, thinking the religious authorities, so dedicated, he knew, to right and strict law, would not be willing to ignore that Barabbas was already a convicted criminal. And at the same time, he really was not in touch with how they were so deeply and fervently dedicated to the destruction, to the elimination of Jesus. Jesus was a threat. So he misjudged all of that. And so the people, almost 5 days, a little bit less than 5 days after they had been chanting, Hosanna to the Son of David. They'd been chanting that and quoting the prophecy of Psalm 119, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, these very few days later, they've been worked up by false accusations and fear-mongering by their religious leaders. They chose Barabbas to be released and chose to have Jesus falsely condemned. And with their groundless, thoughtless, careless choice, their vicious and violent chants had turned to crucify him, crucify him. And all you can say with I hope and I think dismay in your hearts is the obvious. The people chose with carelessness. And not this bad, but I think a lot of times we choose with carelessness. Mm-hmm. And how do we do that? How so? Well, we choose with carelessness when we choose without making a genuine comparison. Pilate thought he made the actual facts clear enough. He was going to follow tradition and release the prisoner of the Jews' choice, and he knew they knew, as verse 16 says, they had a well-known prisoner. They knew Barabbas. And being well-known, they knew why he was in prison. He was a criminal. Then when he was asked which person he should release, following tradition of release of one prisoner, they said their choice was Jesus, who Pilate himself had called the one who is called Messiah. Pilate was somewhat dumbfounded, and he blurted out, why? Why? What crime has he committed? Pilate felt that he was giving the people a clear contrast, a real verbal comparison. Just look at this comparison. Barabbas was known to be a robber. He was an insurrectionist. He was a notorious criminal. Mm-hmm. Jesus, on the other hand, was known to be a man of compassionate kindness, noble character. And to Pilate, as a sitting judge, he just kept thinking, so what crime has this man committed? A really great Bible commentator, William Barclay, has pointed out that when the people chose Barabbas, they chose lawlessness instead of law. They chose war instead of peace. They chose hatred and violence instead of love. Quite a comparison. Well, notice another comparison, and know it or not, you've been waiting for this one. Barabbas is a surname. My surname is Combs. Barabbas had another name. The name attributed to him in some of the oldest manuscripts is how the NIV, our text for today, presents it. Jesus Barabbas. Jesus, the Hebrew form, of course, is Yeshua or Joshua, was actually a pretty common name in Judaism. What's important to know is Barabbas, Bar Abbas, means son of the Father. Son of the Father. So who were they to choose? Now, what's the comparison here? We have this comparison. Jesus Barabbas, the son of the Father. Or Jesus Christ, who claimed to be and was spoken of from heaven by God himself, God the Father, as this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Jesus, capital S, son of the capital F, Father. Jesus Barabbas, son of the Father. Jesus Christ, son of the Father. Well, there's no doubt in my mind that the religious Jewish leaders absolutely knew the nuances of that comparison. All right. Unfortunately, I think Christianity has shied away from that knowledge, but that comparison has always been there. But we've shied away simply because there's been a fear that people just wouldn't understand why the full name of this notorious person whose surname was Barabbas was actually Jesus Barabbas. Lots of carelessness on something of a very important comparison that we ought to know the intricacies of that comparison. And then we choose with carelessness when we choose without consulting our conscience. There's a rather tragic yet very revealing statement in the Gospel of Mark, in Mark's account of this incident. Mark 15:15. So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas. Mark emphasizes for our benefit that Pilate's choice was because of expediency, because of pressure put on him. Not as he should have done, because his conscience was telling him that this was the right thing to do. His conscience was telling him, this man has committed no crime. The same thing is true of the crowd. This is a consciousness choice that they made. They allowed themselves to be manipulated by the religious authorities and pressured by the common mob violence until they finally reacted without a thought of personal conscience. And how often do you and I make a decision on the same basis as that? We're presented a choice between two courses of action, and neglecting to search our conscience, we choose the easy choice, the expedient. Hopefully we don't do that too often, but that's a possibility. We choose between two persons and neglect to consult our thoughtful conscience. We choose the one who's putting the most pressure on us. That's right. Maybe not the right thing, but just because we don't go by our conscience. We're offered a choice between two places of service, and we thoughtlessly choose the easiest. We know the old axiom, but we neglect to follow it. Let your conscience be your guide. Yeah. You see, in real Christian thought and Christian ideals, the reality is your conscience is inner guidance. And who is our inner guide as a Christian? Of course, it's God in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells within every person for whom Jesus is Lord. So we can make careless choices if we neglect our conscience, if we neglect the Holy Spirit. We don't look inside and say, what does God want here? And finally, at least finally for this particular consideration of the hows and whys of choosing carelessly or carefully, we choose with carelessness when we choose without considering the consequences. See, the crowd very glibly stated that they would take the consequences of their act in choosing with carelessness. Be it on us, they said. But they didn't consider. One of the consequences ended up as the guilt of having made a wrong choice. And so before God Almighty, they in fact took, they owned that consequence even as they had so loudly and convincingly said they would. But there's more to the blood of Jesus than their off-the-cuff statement that Jesus' blood should be on them. You see, it is by all that is wrapped up in the concept of the blood of Jesus that we now have forgiveness of our sins. The blood of Jesus is on us. So in reality, when the blood of Jesus is on us, we are then forgiven of our sin. We have new life. And it's been said that of all the people in Jerusalem, Barabbas could most specifically for a worldly reality view say that Jesus died for him. And of all the theories of the atonement, the best explanation is still the very simple statement, Jesus died for my sins. Yes, he died for Barabbas' sins. Mm-hmm. He died for your sins, yes. For my sins, for all of our sins. Amen. I think indeed when we have the freedom of making the wrong choice, the people of that day in Jerusalem had that freedom. They chose Barabbas instead of Jesus. As we examine that freedom, I call that we may be blessed to consider thoughtfully, carefully, the choices we are to make by carefully considering the comparison of the differences, by carefully and with dependence on the Holy Spirit's presence, carefully looking to our conscience and realistically considering the consequences of our choice. Today, this Palm Sunday, we're right there proclaiming Hosanna to the King. Hosanna to the King. I'm going to put that down in front of Jesus and that's my choice. Well, that is our careful choice. That is always our choice.